Hello and welcome to Clear the Air with me, Jess.
And me, Kaylee. Let's Clear the Air with Jess and Kaylee will be available on all platforms where you listen to your podcast. The podcast is there to discuss all things personal, mindset, political, female, and a massive food sharing. So make sure to tune in to us every Tuesday. Thanks, guys. Okay, hello.
Hi. I don't know why I was so weird then. Am I recording? Yeah, here we go. Straight in. Let's rock and roll.
I mean, straight in / 32 minutes later.
No one needs to know about that and my technological issues. If that's even a word.
Yeah, I am bad when it comes to technology. But, you know, so what? Don't shame me for it. It is what it
is. You're so good at other things.
You know, and I feel like everyone who is technological will soon not be because technology changes continuously. So
this is what I mean. We're just saying before I came on, I was like, you said I should have paid more attention in IT. But when I was at school, it was Windows 95 and I'd try and find a place I could work on a Windows 95 right now. You certainly cannot.
Exactly. I used to sit next to Kieran in IT in year 10 and 11, and I used to just like whack his elbow because I had a crush on him. So that's all I did in 92 years.
Well, it worked out well because you're still together.
Well, I don't know. I used to throw pens at him in physics. I thought that was like a really good hobby. Like, flirting. He was sat in a corner, and I thought, how can I make this boy fall in love with me? I know. I'll throw a pen at the back of his head every lesson.
Well, don't knock it, Kaylee. You're together 10 years later.
I mean, if this is not the height of romance, I got chicken pox when I was 15. And yeah. I know when I got it as well. I got it on New Year's Day and we went to see Exeter City football. And I must have infected so many children that day. So many children. And then, wasn't in school for 2 weeks, which is actually like fabulous because I just watched Shallow Girl like 25 times. But when I got back, I had physics. Like fifth lesson, which is the last lesson of the day, and Kieran used to have lunch right by it, and I remember running to make sure that, because I used to always get there first, I'd get there second. But I don't know what I thought was going to happen, because he was like, oh, you haven't been at school for a while, where have you been? And I was like, oh, I've had chicken pox. And he was just like, okay. Like, I don't know what I thought that was going to, I don't know why I thought that would achieve love, but you know,
yeah,
like,
get some sympathy in there.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought that, yeah, that would achieve. But hey-ho, there's a couple of random stories that mean nothing for you. So
there we go. But this week,
yeah,
we are talking about something. Well, you finish that sentence for me. Special. Exactly that. Special.
I think we're going to take an in-depth look at the word special and the implications I think this has for people and, you know, we are both women, so I think our kind of knowledge is very much being a woman and that word kind of being thrown across. And yeah, I said to Jess that it's just something that I think I've experienced for a lot of my life. And I've seen a lot of memes lately, especially on like TikToks and that, of videos being like, I'm the main character, like of like my life and my story. And I think that it's funny and it's great, but actually like as a woman, it can cause a lot of jeopardy, it doesn't help women uplift each other because you do feel like you're in competition with someone. Like I was, you know, this was only a couple of months ago. I was sat at dinner with somebody and someone across from us was like, oh, I forgot to tell you that a couple of years ago, someone said you were really like special. Like it was that kind of thing. And I love her to pieces, but I looked at her and I was like, all right. And it wasn't even like that. It wasn't nothing to do with that. Love her to bits. But I think when there is that kind of special or that, you're like one in a million or someone thinks you're so like unique, the person or the people that are around you are just kind of like, oh, okay, what am I then? A piece of shit? You know, like,
I think women have always been pitted against each other. Yeah. And I think the reason that is because like, I always bang on about this because I kind of had my eyes open to it recently, is this misogynistic thing that just waves through all our lives that we so didn't even realize it was there, and when you start seeing it you're like, hold on a minute. And I think this pitting people against women, sorry, I will specifically say women because it is, I think they're pitted against each other because it gives it, first of all, it will make the woman jealous, or like not feel good enough. Yeah. I mean, I was speaking to someone once and they were telling me there's this almost man Bible where they go on it and find out how to pull women. And it's like this secret underground thing you can find on the dark web where you put a woman down in a certain way. So one of the tactics that I was being told about was really compliment their friend, even if they fancy you, really make you feel like shit so that they eventually can get you. But because you then have had your emotions played with, it's so narcissistic. It's so narcissistic. But like, it's to pit us against each other because then we feel like we need to prove our worth.
Yeah.
So all of this, oh my gosh, isn't she fantastic? It's like, we don't, as women, I don't think we even, especially maybe my generation and older, don't realize that you do it because it's been so programmed into us that we're like, I've done things and I think, wow, I'm misogynistic because I've grown up being misogynistic, even though I'm a woman. That doesn't even make sense, does it? But we've learned these things. And I think that's where that comes from. And I think people get kind of stuck by doing it. And especially when it comes from a man, if someone turns around and says, oh, isn't she wonderful to you? Like, yes, she is. But also, so am I. We're all wonderful. Every single person is wonderful in their own way. And just because someone else thinks that person's wonderful, someone else might not think they are. They might think you are. But yeah, the way it's done sometimes.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I was heavily brought up on rom-coms, romantic comedies, those sort of films, and the idea around them is always that the main girl is special or hides in the corner or doesn't care what the other people are doing, like she's out on her own tracks and or she's really popular but secretly she's like so clever, or like she's really into like I don't know, that there's something always really different about her. And I think, but what, we're all different, we're all unique, but also what if we're not? Like, what if I do, like, I love just general pop music, like I follow trends, like what does that make me not special? Does that mean that I'll be alone forever then? Does that mean that everyone's gonna think that I'm not worthy of a good job or a good love life or good friends, or like am I just fake, you know? Like I just think that the implications that even the film and TV industry has had on women and how they feel they represent themselves is madness. Yeah. And it probably is the same reflection on men. It's probably that they watch these things or they've seen these things and they think those are the standards I hate saying the like phrase getting women, but you know what I mean? To go and to date women or to get them speaking to them or whatever it is. But that's a different conversation. Cause I feel like since I was a kid, like, the dating games changed so much. Like I feel like you dated someone, then you went out with them, and then whatever happened. Whereas now there's like talking and seeing, and then like mutually exclusive, and then like,
God, don't even get me started on that. Like, we're kind of slightly off topic, but I'll say I cannot like dating. I'm just so glad I'm with someone now because it is a minefield out there. Like dating apps have just made a load of nymphomaniacs running around wanting to get their ends wet. And like, I mean, it sounds really disgusting, sorry, but I feel like it's literally just, I wouldn't even go on a dating app because I went on one before I met my partner now and I had to delete it. I was like, you starving, embarrassing men, leave me alone. Like, I just can't, I had no time for it whatsoever. And also I'm nearly 33. So it's like, this is what I've said to my friends. I'm like, the dating pool now, it's either people that have been divorced, so you get there and they're still some decent people. Like me, myself, I was divorced. So I'm like, okay, well, so you meet the divorcees, the early divorcees, or you get the people that have never had a serious relationship because they're actual not very decent people in relationships, or they got real bad attachment issues and all that kind of thing. So, and then they end up effing your head up. So it's like, it's a really hard age to date. And I kind of got this because I was talking to other people about it before I met my guy. And I was like, wow, we're all in the same boat here because it's this age thing, because most people have either got together and married off by 30, 33. Yeah. And the ones that haven't, you know, or the divorcees, when if you snatch one of the good ones up, great. But if you don't, and then you get stuck with the ones that have never had a serious relationship when they're coming up to mid 30s, you're like, oh, what's going on here?
But then I bet if you spoke to your current boyfriend and asked him, he wouldn't have even thought about that. I don't bet when he was single that he was sat around going, God, the dating pool's getting slimmed. Bloody hell, I'm
sat with you. Because I think the problem is men are like, oh, I'll just take what's there.
They don't give it, but you know what I mean? Like how much thought you'd even put into that. Like you're so true. Like you're so aware of it. Yeah, men don't. They're just bachelors. No. They're cool. They've not settled down. They're still in the game. They can do what they want.
Whereas but women, there is a point. Sorry, carry on. I'll go back to that after. When women.
And then women, I mean, this is probably just I've been watching Sex and the City recently, but it is so true that like men are cool like bachelors, and then women get to their 30s and it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like,
yeah.
You know?
But I kind of feel like now, like, I will look at people that are still like bachelors in their like late 30s, nearly 40s, and they're just messing around with girls in their 20s. And like, I find it so fucking embarrassing. And I know that sounds really judgmental because I hate judging people. I hate it. But they're going out with all these different young girls. And I find it a bit weird, if I'm honest, because I'm like, looking at my mindset now at 33 and looking at my mindset at 20.
Yeah,
I mean, I couldn't have had a decent conversation with a 40-year-old man because there is zero in common. Like, how can a 20-year-old and a 40-year-old have any conversation that's remotely other than sexual or something else? You know, completely different. 20 years difference is a lot. So when I look at these old bachelors and they think they're Mr. Cool Bachelor running around with these, I'm thinking to myself, well, what's actually wrong with this person? Because he's clearly needing some sort of validation to have this young people running around him, because there's no emotional connection here. And I think there's something missing for the person, you know, like these rich old men that run around with these young girls.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's number one, are you controlling? And that's a worry, because I don't understand what emotional connection you've got here. Yeah. And number two, I'm like, well, what is it that you want to show? What is it you're trying to put out to the world by having these women? There's obviously an insecurity that's not being met.
Yeah, I was watching a video all about Drew Barrymore and like her childhood and like getting into fame from like 11 months and stuff, and she was dating an 18-year-old when she was 13. And
my god,
I just couldn't grasp. I know that sounds like 5 years difference. And if you thought 40 to 45 or 20 to 25.
It's different at
13
that.
13 to 18, you are.
I think that's disgusting.
It is so disgusting.
And it's actually illegal. It's actually illegal. It is illegal. Like, I know me at 13.
Yeah. I mean, at 18, no. I'd have never. I mean, at 18, if I thought of dating a boy that was 16, I'd have gone, gross.
Yeah.
What was it about that bloke that thought, this 13-year-old, I want a bit of that. Like, she's not even gone through
puberty. Yeah, I think that's almost on the verge of paedophilia, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I mean, it is paedophilia in the eyes of the law. That is paedophilia. But I mean, yeah, I don't look at 18 years old. I was certainly not looking at 13-year-old boys thinking, oh, yeah. And it's because women have been sexualized the minute they fucking come out the womb. Like, honestly, I do see things changing, but it needs to go quicker, because it is true. We get sexualized from the minute, you know, oh, aren't you pretty? I remember one time I went to my mum worked at a pub and I had all my hair up with a little beanie hat on, so you couldn't see any hair. And this bloke goes, oh, aren't you a nice little boy? And I pulled my hair out and I was like, I'm a girl. And he's like, oh, yeah. And suddenly I was pretty because I had my hair down. And it's like, I was fucking 10. Like, I feel like we get so... Women are supposed to be pretty, but there's a book called Women Don't Owe You Pretty. I think it's a really good read. Yeah, because we don't, but we've been told we do. And it's like, actually, well, can you get rid of your big flabby belly then, and I'll get rid of mine. Like, you know, it's men can do whatever the fuck they want, whereas a woman not necessarily can, because we need to look pretty and dainty, but we also need to work. But we must do this.
And even now, and I totally respect anyone who does put their body on social media in its true form, like, you know, with everything that we all have, you know, whether that's stretch marks, our roles when we sit down, whatever it is, I totally respect that. However, I don't believe it's created the change in which we think it has. I think it's kind of like a false facade where it's like, hey, we can stick our tummies out, but actually you're not actually creating a space in which women can be size 14s and be proud of it. We're creating a space where you can stick your belly out, but you still pull it back in and you're a size 6. Like, I think that we're showing that our bodies can be bigger without it really being bigger. And I don't think that's still any good for anyone. And I think if we look back at history, you know, if we look back at Henry VIII or Victorian times, Edwardian, women generally, as child birthers, I don't think that's a word, but you know what I mean, as childbearing women and of women who, you know, did the work, looked after children, they were normally a size 12 to 16. They weren't size six and eight living on lettuce.
Well, Marilyn Monroe was size 16.
Exactly. And she was
or 14 or something.
She is one of the most iconic. And that's not to say, because, you know, me and you can't talk from a point of view of being a size 16, because me and you aren't those sizes.
Yeah, exactly. And we're tiny.
Let's be honest. We do put in the F, like, we can't say that we're just naturally this way. We go to the gym. I find it a very difficult field to grasp, because I can't say that we should all care about how we look, because I care about how I look. But I also don't want it to be the only thing that's seen.
I think we should care about how we look for the simple fact of looking after ourselves. Yeah. As in, I go to the gym, number one, for my mental health, because it gets me in such a good space. Number two, when my body feels good, my head feels good. So it coincides with each other. And number three, because I like to be fit, healthy and strong. And I think I will live a better life when I'm feeling mentally clear and my body's feeling clear. I know if I put on a lot of weight, like bits of weight, and I haven't been to the gym, I feel groggy. I can't run as much. I like the freedom of being able to move my body. And that's why I do it, because and I dance, and I like to have that knowledge that my body is in its optimal position, just because that works for my mental health. That might not work for someone else. Someone else might like to be a bigger person and have a bit more weight around them, because they'll feel comfortable like that. But if that's the case, cool. And, you know, we should, it's hard to enjoy how we look when we're always told we need to be something different, like we discussed before about consumer markets and putting us all against each other.
And men are built differently. So you have tall men, you have short men, you have stockier men, you have slimmer men, and they're not pitted against each other. Yet women, no matter how you are burst out of that vagina, you are compared to everyone. How can I at 5'3" be compared to somebody 6 foot with legs double my size? It's insanity the way that women are pitted against each other through no fault of their own. And this is what has led to such a surge in cosmetic surgery, in things like that, because we're pitted against unrealistic standards. We cannot all be each other, and those women can't help how they're born, whether they're born beautiful, born 6 foot, born however they are. It's unrealistic standards.
But that also doesn't take away from the beauty that everyone has, you know, because when we do see like the supermodels that are 6 foot and blah blah blah, they're beautiful. But I mean, you're beautiful, every friend of mine's beautiful, because we all have our own uniqueness. And without that, I mean, if you look at the trends, like you were saying with the social media trends, people are filling their face with crap. And don't get me wrong, back in the day, a long time ago, I had stuff put in. I had it all taken out, because I was like, I don't even look like me. And I looked horrible. I looked stern and awful. I hated it. And I look at everyone now, and everyone's becoming a clone of Kylie Jenner. Like, everyone is looking exactly identical. And then they're putting filters on top of that. I mean, when you're posting up pictures that you wouldn't even be recognized if you walk down the street, it's scary. It's really, really scary. And it's simply because of no fault of their own. This is from people comparing. I'll look at I mean, I remember on Instagram once, for about 4 weeks, I had this account. I don't know what account it was, like a pitting women against each other account. Retweet for Jess or like for this model. And they'd put a picture of me next to another woman. And then the next week it would be this one, until I was eliminated. And I felt like shit. I was like, oh my God, I need to get this done. She's got bigger. That's why she's prettier. Because it was just being pitted again. And that happens all the time. You see it on Instagram all the time. Oh, this one, who wore it better? Who did this? Does it fucking matter? I've not seen a man's magazine with who wore this suit better.
Yeah, exactly. What suit was better?
Yeah, and I've always seen it when, oh, who it wore better, or Rihanna or Jennifer Aniston. It's like, fuck off. We all work to our own unique way. Like, it is just this misogynistic view, and then it gets stuck. We just need to fight up against it.
Yeah, and it is really tough. I remember when I was a teenager, I was like, I don't know, I hated it so much. Like, I remember my teenage years was the fad of having like really tight new look black trousers and like pencil skirts, but like pencil skirts are like just under your bum. And I remember I had a real issue with it. I remember my mum used to work in a costume shop, and on Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays precisely, I used to go in and help her till 5, like after school. I remember this lady came in once, this older lady, and she was like moaning about pencil skirts, and I was like right on it with her, like 14 in my like baggy Sainsbury's black trousers. And it's really difficult, because looking back, I don't know if I actually had an issue with the pencil skirt and it's sexualizing women, or whether I just didn't feel good enough about myself and didn't feel like I would look good in a pencil skirt, so therefore tried to shame other people who that made them feel good. This is why there's so many lines. And as a woman, it's so complicated, because you end up feeling like, say you are talking in this manner, you're maybe shaming other people who actually their confidence is by feeling sensual and sexual and wearing provocative clothing, but then that doesn't hurt. It's a minefield. And I think this is the point that I'm making. A woman isn't special because she chooses to wear a pencil skirt, whereas I choose to wear baggy trousers. We're both special and we're equal. She chooses to value herself in that way, I choose to value myself in this way. And that shouldn't determine where we rank in life, where we rank in our standards, as our beauty standards. And it's just so wrong. And as much as I think there's change, there's not enough change happening. And maybe the change is happening too much in us women, and that's what ends up making us feel like we're pitting against each other, or then we're shaming other women because we're trying to change ourselves, when actually really we should be acceptant of ourselves and be teaching sons, boyfriends, dads, actually that it's for them to change their outlook on women, not for us to be trying to learn and learn and learn when they're not, you know?
Yeah. And you know what, that makes a load of sense, because you know, I got this new bikini the other week, and it goes quite far up my backside. And I was thinking, oh, I can't wear that in the David Lloyd because, you know, the mums might, you know, mums might not like it, and women might give me a dirty look. And then I was like, and I sit myself down, and I was like, Jess, they'd only do that if they're fucking jealous. You're in a swimming centre, like, everything else is out. So like, so what if it goes a bit up your bum? And that's not your problem. And I was so worried about a woman being rude to me about it. And I was like, if she is, it's simply because she has been made to feel like shit from someone else. And it's an insecurity. Yeah. And it's not fair on anyone.
Someone will. If I'd have seen you in that bikini, I'd have looked at you and I'd have gone, what a bitch.
Yeah.
But it's not because of that. You're a close friend of mine. It's not that. It's to do with how you feel. It's to do with how you feel and the standards of which you think you're not meeting. So it exactly, like you're saying, it's got nothing to do with you, and you can't control how other people feel. You can only know that it's not actually about you. You're a beautiful
exactly
person inside and out. It's to do with what's going on with them.
Exactly. And this, do you know what, there's one book I read that complete, I remember when I was going through the divorce at the time, and I was really like judgmental about everything going on. Mm. And I was like, and I read this book called The Judgment Detox by Gabby Bernstein. Mm. And it changed my entire world. Every time I thought to myself, why is she doing that? I ended up looking at myself and I'm like, oh my God, that's triggered you because you're jealous. And why are you jealous? Because she's got a better bum, or she's got in my eyes, I was saying she's got this, or she's got this fit boyfriend, or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I was like, well, if I turn all of my judgments back to myself, the simple and utterly only reason I am judging is simply because I'm feeling inadequate. So I need to work on my inadequacies to fix that.
And I think we can use that for men. I genuinely think why some of men's misogyny comes from being a reflection on themselves. It's those things that they can't take out on themselves. It's the things that they can't understand, and they therefore do take out on women and make them feel misogynist, like, sorry, misogynistic towards them. So maybe they don't feel like they're enough of a man, so therefore they want to bring a woman down. Or you know what I mean? Maybe they're not happy with their reflection, so therefore they want to make a woman feel unhappy in the way she looks. Maybe you find that men maybe put on weight, and then therefore they'll go, you know, they'll kind of beat their wife down about her weight because maybe they're not feeling great about themselves. I think it's the same, you know, between sexes. I do think there is that, and you can find that, especially, I mean, growing up in a household, you know, where parents argue, or you see that male, female, you can see that where both people have their insecurities and have things that, you know, like when people say about when you're in an argument and you hit that like trigger, like there's that point and it just like flips and it goes from another level to another. It's because really you're hitting at other people's insecurities.
Exactly.
Actually, you're just using that. You're targeting other people's insecurities because you are putting up a wall to yourself and not really kind of inverting the issues upon yourself and what needs to be changed in you, you know?
Yeah. And the only reason I've ever lost it or been a complete bitch, to be quite honest, is when it's hit something and I've not realized. Now, after 5 years of really having a good look at myself inside, I've worked out I will only be judgy and unkind if something's hit me and I've not worked out. So now it doesn't really happen. I don't get unkind. That things kind of irritate me and I'm like, oh, this person's doing that. This is getting a bit much, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah. It will never be from a bitter, nasty place anymore. Cause I'll say, hang on, I felt that feeling before. This means there's something I'm not dealing with very well and I'm feeling a bit jealous. So I stop myself. And I just really suggest reading The Judgment Detox because it is a real, real informative book and it gives you that opportunity to really look at yourself and think, oh, okay, that's why I'm doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And absolutely. I think it's so important.
It changed my life around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it gets rid of jealousy, bitterness. You look back at yourself and you're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that this time. And you get like a chance to check in on yourself. And like I said, the main thing about healing our lives and looking after ourselves and dealing with any issues is by self-inventory. It's the only way. Like, we cannot control a single thing around us. We can only control inside us. So if something is upsetting, we've always got to come to the main root of it, which is actually us and how we are coping and dealing with it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I can 100% say that a lot of what drove me, you know, career-wise was a chip on my shoulder. You know, I've been driven a lot of the times by a chip on my shoulders, like holding on to that one phrase that someone said to me 8 years ago, maybe that wasn't very nice. And I'll use that. Like, I'll still think about it. I'll go to sleep thinking about it. And it's hard because you self-reflect. And I know that basically what they said triggered me. And it gave me imposter syndrome, made me feel like I'll fail. So instead I use that to go the other way. So it's this hard balance, isn't it? And sometimes, like, I'm at an age now where I have to reflect on that and go, at some point that needs to drop off the shoulder. Like, it can't be there forever. You can't constantly hang on to what people said. And actually what those people said at the time, maybe, you know, there's phrases that people said to me and they could have had so much going on in their lives and I've held on to it, and actually it was probably nothing to do with me.
There's two things to take from that. Number one, it gave you that spurt, so great, you use that to accomplish some things, cool, tick that box. But then if you carry on using that, it might not be in the same reaction anymore. It's like that fable I told, I think I might have done it on this podcast before, where, you know, the fable was that a monk had used his boat to escape a flooding island, but when he gets to the other island he's pulling the boat but the boat's getting stuck, so the boat that saved him in one section of his life is now going to kill him if he doesn't get through the forest because he can't drag the boat through the forest. So at one point that helped you, but if you carry it on, it's no longer going to help you and it's going to hinder you. And also, someone that has anything negative to say is simply because that's triggered them, like, oh, I see her doing something, so I best pull that down. And again, that's that judgment thing, because they're actually, the only reason why they're judging you in the first place and saying something was simply because they weren't feeling good enough to do it themselves and they probably wanted to.
Without a doubt. Yeah, I feel like we've really gone off back from what we were originally talking about.
it all entails and works itself.
You're all special. You're all unique. You're all great.
That's basically it.
I think if there's anyone listening to this, though, who is under the age of 18, because I think those teenage years are so formative, I think it's really hard to listen to what we're saying and actually put it into practice, because you are stuck in an arena of about 500 kids who are all judging each other every day due to their insecurities that are building. But genuinely, if you have the capability to just take a step away, leave those friends who are unkind to other people, to you, and look around and know that you're all equals. Like, it, you know, in 5 years, depending on if you live in a small town, live in a city, wherever, you will see those people around. Like, there are people now, and I never thought they'd go into the trades or whatever they go into now and have accomplished in their lives. And you know, you are all young, you're not adults yet, and people change a lot. I think I love the fact we're doing, so basically me and Jess started this podcast late afternoon and we've slowly just gone into darkness.
And I've just seen my head's vanished. I feel like putting the light
on. And I'm only lit up from my laptop screen, but Jess was in complete darkness.
I was noticing my face just vanished.
And all I could see was your little microphone green light.
Where's Jess gone? But yeah, I think,
you know, yeah, it is really important.
Yeah, and just know that, you know, insecurities flag up in us all. Like, I've just been quite self-aware over the last few years and really reflecting on me, and that's when my life changed. That's when things went better for me, that's when work went better, that's when I felt better about myself. I think when you do notice yourself judging or being spiteful, check in with yourself first, because it's actually that's showing you what you need to fix inside you. Yeah. So I feel like that's very important. And also just remember, if you're on the receiving end of some unkind comments or that kind of stuff, just remember that that is zero reflection on you. And I know how hard that is, because as a kid, I remember my mom would say, oh, it's no reflection on you. But we're not aware enough as a kid to understand that. So you think, oh, people just hate me. And then you end up people pleasing for the rest of your life. Whereas just be so aware that, I mean, if you look at yourself and you think, well, I'm only being bitchy or nasty here because that's me, I feel insecure about that thing. Know that that's going on in the other person's head too, but they may not be aware of that. So yeah, that is the key, really.
Yeah, it's like they say, isn't it? Bullies are being bullied, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
people are mean and people say things because of their own insecurities and what they're going through. So yeah. And going back to, you know, just what I was saying before as well about the special thing is, genuinely, you are all special. And I know it will feel, yeah, you know, if you're at school, if you're a certain job and someone's got promotion, I don't know, there's lots of different circumstances, but just maybe because you're not first at the end of the race doesn't mean that you aren't special and that you're, you know, you can't have all number ones in life. You know, it's the same with the industry. You can't all have the main female role, but there's a thousand other roles available. You know,
yeah,
you have to have everyone. You need somebody who's shy, you need somebody who's quiet,
and we're all better at different things. It's yeah, it, you know, one's an athlete, one's an actor, one's a mathematician, one's a business leader. Like we flourish in what we find joy in doing. So a lot of the time at schools or you know, jobs, when we're there, we don't flourish because we're not actually doing what we find joy from, what we flourish in. So if you find out what you're drawn to naturally, you'll be special in that because it's your thing, and you find your own special because we all are. Everyone has it in them. So you find your special by doing what you love. That's what I think.
And unfortunately, we do have a class system that doesn't always allow people to follow those creative pursuits, but it doesn't mean they're not special. They might be your bin man, but they might be one of the cleverest people you've ever met and have so much knowledge around economics or whatever it is.
Being a crazy artist or something.
Exactly. You know, people, just because of the jobs they do doesn't mean that is who they are. You know, this is another thing, but this is maybe something we could look into in another episode, is distinguishing jobs and your life. Just because someone earns the money and pays your mortgage or your rent doesn't mean that that's the thing that defines you forever. And
no, exactly.
As well, you might have gone into something, and you know, you can definitely tell this, where you go into something at 17, 18 just because you need to, or you need to make a couple of bucks. Like, we've all done it, you know, worked a million different jobs. Actually, 10 years later, you're a completely different person, a completely different, you know, it doesn't define you. And what you go off starting to work in, sorry, that was my phone, doesn't mean that's who you are. So I think that's definitely, we should look at that in a different episode.
We will, I think it's important because growth is happening every day.
Exactly. Just quickly before we come to an end, I've been obsessed with this and you need to become obsessed with it. So
okay,
I don't know if anyone's seen it, but have you seen the new series The Dropout that's been advertised with Amanda Seyfried, all about Katherine Holmes?
No, I have not.
So you need to Google Katherine Holmes Theranos. Because it's like American. So basically, it's a woman called Katherine Holmes, and she dropped out of Stanford, a very clever lady, and she decided that she was going to create a machine where you could have your blood taken from like your fingertip.
I know about this. I listened to a podcast, and it was and she's basically going to prison or something now, isn't she?
Oh my god, mate, it's so interesting. I've become
Are you talking about a podcast or a series?
There is a podcast, but now, so there's a big documentary on her and they've made like a drama series about it.
Okay, fab. And what is it out now, the TV series?
So the TV series is based on the podcast.
Where do I find that? Because I'm going to watch it tonight.
It's Sky. So it's Sky, Hulu, fab. Now TV.
Sky, fab.
All that.
The Dropout.
So good. I'm obsessed with the story. Like, I've watched every YouTube video on it, the podcast.
I've listened to the podcast.
With something like... I love to get in that woman's brain. I just want to meet her. Like, I just, I don't know why. I'm obsessed with her. And that's not good because she's not an idol, but I'm obsessed with her mind and how she tricks so many big and powerful people. I'm absolutely obsessed with her.
But it's the same as that Anna Delvey on Netflix, which was called, Inventing Anna. It's again, it's like the self-belief you have to pull these things off or not sometimes. yeah, that's about Cornati, so I don't know how I'm gonna tie this into being special, but yeah, they I was, it's someone's mind, isn't it, that's so like, wow. But I mean, yeah, don't, I'm not saying, it. I'm not saying go and do that, like, because committing felonies is probably not the way forward, but it's incredible that someone's mindset, it's the same way we're all interested in true crime, because we, our brains go to, wow, I cannot believe someone did that, or how did that person pull it off? It's something so extreme that we would never do, because we're like, no, that's ridiculous, I'm not going to prison. But some people's minds just work in a different way. I'm really interested in psychology because of that reason.
Oh my God, it is beyond interesting. Yeah, oh, I love it. And like sociology, like due to like your socioeconomic backgrounds and things like that. And I really wanted to go into archaeology when I was younger, because I was so interested in, obviously we can't go back to the brains of people hundreds of years ago, but obviously the most, like the biggest thing we can learn is through what's been left behind. I just think it's so interesting how society's changed and the mindsets and views on everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like this is, we've got more episodes we can chat about this stuff.
We can indeed.
Yes. Okay, guys. Well, I think we've reached the end of this week.
We have. Yeah, we've been a bit all over the place again, but actually I think it's very informative, and that's the main thing you want to do.
Episodes. I don't know.
A bit of a brain dump.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much as ever for being here. And Jess, it's always a pleasure. And
it's always a pleasure, my darling.
Yeah, make sure to tune in next week.
Bye. Thanks to all our listeners, and we will see you next week.
We'd like to say a special thank you to Audio Boom for distributing the series, and Popple for our jingle and Raspberry.